Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. The Rhode Island Board of Education returns to Rhode Island College today for the second day of a two-day retreat. The board originally wanted to hold the retreat behind closed doors, but a Superior Court judge ruled that to do so would violate the state's open meetings law. Yesterday, the board heard from experts about using standardized test scores as a requirement for a high school diploma. Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick was there.
Stay the course with the NECAP test. That was the advice of former Massachusetts Education Commissioner David Driscoll to the State Board of Education. The board is under intense pressure to repeal the test as a requirement for high school graduation because with their current scores, 4,000 Rhode Island seniors won't graduate next year. Driscoll told the board there was much angst in Massachusetts before the MCAS test became a requirement for graduation there back in 2003, but that everything worked out in the end.
And I can remember Governor Swift saying to me, is one of us going to blink? I said, it's not going to be me, Governor. Amazing things happened. All of the energy that's gone into this debate all of a sudden shifts to try and get the kids up over the bar.
About a half a dozen sign-carrying members of the Providence Student Union picketed the retreat. They say the test is unfair to students of color and isn't aligned to the current curriculum they're being taught. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
In a related development, the State Department of Education is postponing for 1 year the inclusion of NECAP test scores in a teacher's evaluation. State Education Commissioner Deborah Giss says there was not enough clarity on how the test was being used to assess teacher effectiveness.
The feedback that we got is that it would be more useful to receive it this year, have it be a part of the system, part of their coaching, part of their development of their professional learning plans, but not have it calculate into the system. Kind of like a couple of years ago when we decided to do a year of gradual implementation for the rest of the system, this is kind of similar to that.
Giss says it's a commonly held misbelief that students have to demonstrate partial proficiency on the NECAP test. Not true, she says, they just have to show improvement. A drawing scheduled for tomorrow will determine who gets tax credits under the state's newly revived historic tax credit program. The State Division of Taxation says dozens of projects have applied for the credits. They have $35.5 million to hand out, and they received applications for more than $50 million. The tax credits can be used to redevelop historic buildings. There's a cap of $5 million for any single project. We're learning more this morning about the victims of a fatal plane crash at Taunton Airport yesterday. The incident occurred early in the morning, and federal and local authorities are still investigating its cause. The victims are believed to be 69-year-old John Schmuth of Brockton, Massachusetts, and 61-year-old Roland Delorier of Bridgewater, Massachusetts. Authorities say their identities will be confirmed by autopsies. The two men are believed to have been on board a small plane that crashed during takeoff at Taunton Municipal Airport around 6:30 Sunday morning. And Charlestown police are looking for the person responsible for abandoning 14 kittens. A woman out gardening heard the cats Saturday morning. They were in a box that was taped and held together with twine. Police say some of the kittens were barely alive. The kittens were estimated to be 10 to 12 weeks old. They appeared to be pets, say police, not wild or feral cats.
The days are getting shorter. The breezes off our cobalt coastline are cooler. The rhythms of fall return. In our cozy corner of New England, a timeless harbinger of the season, are students thronging college campuses. Behind the cheery parental goodbye hugs and the lugging of laptops to dorm rooms looms an uneasiness in the realm of higher education these days. Students loaded down with mountains of debt graduate into an uncertain economy. Do you want fries with that diploma? Is the gallows humor of the age. From Kingston comes news that 50% of the incoming freshmen at the University of Rhode Island are from outside our state. That's a startling change from the university's historic mission of educating working and middle-class Rhode Islanders. In 1960, 20% of all URI students hailed from outside Rhode Island. In 1981, that number had climbed to 31%. Last year, about 40% of students were out-of-staters. The reasons for this are not complicated. It all comes down to money. As the General Assembly and former Governor Don Carcieri slashed state funding for URI, the university's brass had a Sophie's choice. Admit more out-of-staters who pay substantially higher tuition or dumb down the university by cutting programs and laying off professors. URI obviously made the choice to take in more students from outside Rhode Island. In 2002, Governor Lincoln Allman's last year in office, URI received $84 million from the state. This year, the university will get $58 million in state support. In 1991, the state contributed 30% of the URI budget. That figure is down to 8%. Governor Lincoln Chafee is a URI supporter, and his budget did increase support by $6 million for higher education, meaning that in-state tuition was frozen at the state's public colleges. But a sluggish economy has decreed that the state cannot do much more for state colleges without raising taxes, which no one in our political leadership has an appetite for in this recession. URI has the smallest endowment of any New England state university. University officials must obviously do a better job raising money. And as is the case in any large bureaucracy, efficiencies can be found. Some of us wonder why URI spends so much money and devotes so many scholarships to a football team that rarely wins a game. A Rhode Islander who attends URI is more likely to stay in our state and contribute to our economy and civic culture than the students from New York and New Jersey who get their education here and flee the day they get their degree. It would also be nice if URI could trim some of the cushy benefits to long-tenured professors who teach part-time and spend their final years before retiring collecting bloated salaries. Given age discrimination laws, this isn't easy, but the glut of older teachers hanging around makes it difficult to hire young scholars. In-state tuition at URI is $12,450 this year. That's high by the standards of Connecticut and Massachusetts, yet lower than New Hampshire or Vermont. URI in-state tuition is up about 50% over the past 5 years, a sharper hike than any other state in the region except New Hampshire. With half the new students from outside our state, URI has the largest percentage of out-of-staters than any New England state university except UVM, which started as a private university as one of the nation's oldest colleges. Rhode Island's a tiny state and can't solve the national student debt crisis, but we could do our economy and younger citizens a lasting favor by investing more in our state university before it becomes the university in Rhode Island rather than the University of Rhode Island.